He's gonna talk. He's fucking talking.
Hey, welcome to Highly Social. I'm your host, Mike Eaton, and I'm the fucking best ever, goddamn you.
This is Highly Social with Mike Eaton. Bitches, show Mike Eaton your titties.
Oh, man. No edits, no cuts. We're reeling this bitch, and I'm smoking a marijuana. And that's the way it fucking goes. Today's episode is brought to you by Crescent Canna. Check out crescent-canna.com and use code Mike for 10% off site-wide. They got CBD. They got THC. They got everything you need. Go and order it. Have it at your house. The new 50 milligram seltzers will knock you on your fucking pussy.
They got drinks?
They got drinks. They and got they'll deliver gummies? Them to your door.
They got edibles?
They got it all.
Oh, my God.
Also, we are brought to you by Golden Cricket. You know how the world's almost over and Hamas and Israel are so mad at each other and there's no possible solution in sight because the world's going to fucking end and for some reason the military industrial complex just keeps affording the genocide? Well, stop that. Stop it all. Use your powers. Instead of voting, do something that matters. Order Golden Cricket protein bars and use code EAT for 15% off. Save the world. Save the planet. We're also brought to you by The Creek in the Cave. If you thought world peace was possible, nah, dog, check out one of these midnight open mics. There ain't no world peace, no justice, no peace, motherfucker. You want to be a comedian. You have small testicles. You want to grow them. Come on down, 7th Street. You're here 7 days a week. You're already drinking. Why not try comedy? Come on down for the best place on earth. And now, let's get to the show.
Solid intro.
Today is brought to you by capitalism. I don't believe in it. I'm joined today by my favorite guest, the tattoo artist, my tattoo artist, one of my favorite humans on the planet. It's Jeremiah Perrazzo.
Hello, everyone.
AKA Germ.
Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing fucking phenomenal. What a show, dude.
What a show indeed.
There was some highs and some lows, for sure.
You know, one of the lows for me is that when that guy was like, make some noise if you fuck 12-year-old girls, and then you stood up and started clapping.
I stood up for the rest of the night.
Why do you love it so much? And you go, well, there's 12 of them. Oh, man, buddy, I'm so glad you're here. So I just finished, context, what we were actually talking about, I just finished an OnlyFans taping. And believe it or not, I didn't even show a hole. Kind of cool not showing a hole.
That's for the podcast.
Someone's opening the door.
That's behind the paywall.
That is behind the paywall. It'll be on OFTV probably around January 15th-ish. A day before my birthday. How cool is that?
No shit.
And a day after, I'm headlining.
I'm a bad friend.
Wise guys. No, dude. Birthdays are for Siri to remember. What are we, the poor? Weird.
Dude, yeah. Let Facebook or Snapchat tell me, honestly. Let something tell me, because I can't remember all of it.
Dude, if a friend tells you their birthday, you... Oh, no! Dog, you got the downs.
We're fine. I'm not used to this primitive way of smoking.
Listen, as primitive as it may be, is the gas.
Tastes good.
Gasolina. Yeah, this is straight from Oklahoma. I will say this for a long time. I believe nothing good came from Oklahoma. Because that's right. That's correct. And that's a bad state. Fair. And everyone that lives there should leave. That's how you...
It should just be more Texas, honestly.
If you're from Oklahoma and you want to be a great person, leave Oklahoma.
Go.
Everything from Oklahoma that is great left Oklahoma.
I know like three good people that I play games with online that are in Oklahoma. They all plan on leaving because they're good people. Like, yeah. They're decent folks and they're like, fuck this place. I'm out.
And the only saving grace is legal weed. Yeah, you don't know them in real life. You know them in the gaming world.
Yeah, they
so you
may
don't
be
have to see their disgusting Oklahoma face and body, or be around their disgusting Oklahoma personality.
They're like the British of here, like fucked up teeth and looking weird, looking.
No,
odd.
Because the British conquered a lot of the world for a long time.
Yeah, Oklahoma's really never done shit. Yeah, Oklahoma's really not good for much.
Oklahoma's a state shaped like the directions on what you should do when you get here. Fucking leave.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
That way, brother. That's where the good shit is. Get the fuck out. They trail of tears to our ass here, and now we're stuck. Grandpappy's got an addiction to the slots. Grandmammy died 26 years ago, but we're still collecting her welfare, so we got to stay at this address.
Life on the res, right?
Oklahoma.
The only thing that's good about Oklahoma is Tulsa King, and that's not even Oklahoma. That's just Stallone being...
Tulsa King is the greatest show that's ever been made.
It's so fucking good.
I want to join the mafia because of it.
We're going to
renounce my Irish heritage so that I can become Italian, so I can be a capo.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, dude.
I'm going to wear a ring, and I'm going to curb stomp people of different ethnicities that aren't Italian.
You can get fitted
Let's
for a
eat
fucking
pasta
suit.
About it.
You're going to have to get fitted for a suit.
Brother, I would love to wear suits all the time, especially
the time.
If I could use the threat of violence to keep the air conditioning
and
at 68.
And a fucking duster, which is not fucking classic.
Listen,
dude.
I walk into your store, I start fucking sweating. You're telling me you're not going to kill yourself?
Yeah.
Tony, fucking kill this guy. He made me fucking sweat. I'm trying to go eat Ma's lasagna. I'm going to get some Sunday red gravy, and you're going to make me fucking sweat. Kill this fucking guy where he stands.
What, I'm going to need a towel?
Kill his family in front of him. I want to see him suffer and then kill him last.
Yeah, break his knees first.
How good am I at
That's
mafia
good.
Stuff?
That's pretty good.
That's just off the dome.
You got it.
Make his daughter transition and then cut off a penis.
Damn. That's
make him fucking suffer.
21st century mafia shit. Yeah, that's new age mafia shit.
I'm going to shove your daughter's cock in your mouth. You fucking paisan. You dare cross the family. I'm going to cut off the head of the labradoodle and put it in your fucking bed. You fucking look at you dirty fucking wop. You think you could grow? Wait, no, I don't talk about my own people that way.
Yeah, you don't call them.
Sorry, I looked at you and your thick, beautiful hair and an ancient
like
hatred.
Grease ball, dude.
It rose up inside me.
Guinea right there.
You fucking take it back. This isn't what Ellis Island was talking about.
Bro,
ain't no fucking pasta on Ellis Island. You know what I'm saying?
We have family members that are old school, and my family probably would hate me for this, but
yeah,
they
this.
Would call us fucking Dagos.
Oh, and that's like, so good.
I didn't know what that was as a young man.
Tell the folks at home.
It's one of the few slurs for white people that exist, and it is a derogatory term.
Dago?
For Italian Americans. And it's like Guinea Wop and Dago are like,
yeah,
those are your like
Dago's a good one because I don't know actually its etymology. Justin, could you Google Dago and see what it is?
Can we figure out where Dago came from?
Because the first time I heard it was
we're just throwing it around, like nobody would throw around the N-word, but like we're saying it about white people, it's but,
yeah, because they already won. You can talk shit about the winners.
They lost WW2, dude. Listen, they were on the wrong
after
side
after
the
Patriots won the Super Bowl. Everybody was allowed to say Deflategate,
but you have
if you win. You can say what you want. You can say fuck the Astros because they cheated a lot. But the first time I heard Dago was there's a Saturday Night Live where Burt Reynolds plays Sean Connery.
What?
And
why have I never heard of this?
It's insane you haven't heard of it. It's the best SNL sketch there's ever been. And Will Ferrell plays Alex Trebek. And he always goes to Burt Reynolds and he always says, like, fuck, who is he playing? I'm pretty high. That's a
Burt
good
Reynolds,
joke.
Burt Reynolds.
Who does Burt Reynolds play? Fuck, who
we
is
we just
it?
Had it.
God damn it.
We'll cut this
part. But he says, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The people need to know that I'm not as smart as they think I am.
Burt Reynolds played.
Burt Reynolds is. Oh, Sean Connery. Sean Connery. So he's Sean Connery on there. And then. He looks at Alex Trebek and he goes, with your greasy Dago mustache. Mm-hmm. And it's like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's the best, though, because there's like one time where the whole running bit is that Burt Reynolds always reads the category name wrong. So it's like an album cover and he goes, I'll take anal bum cover for 400. Yes. And it crushes. And then it's like the pen is mighty and it's like, tell me about the penis, mightier. Will it really mighty my penis? You know, just being ridiculous. But there's one time on Final Jeopardy where he has to write in an answer, and the question is something around a number, and then he answers V, and he goes, well, despite your best efforts, Mr. Connery, you've answered V, which is a number, 5, and let's see what you wagered.
I did
Suck it, Trebek. And the V was just the top of the K. And suck it, Trebek. And it's one of those moments I remember the first time I saw that clip on like YouTube or whatever. I just like pissed myself. This is the funniest fucking thing that's ever been made. All right, Dago. What is the origin of the word Dago? Diego is the Portuguese nickname for any deckhand. After transforming into Dago in English and becoming a nervous man. Oh, it's just for Spanish. It's not even for you fucking
that's
watch.
That's not even true, though. Come on. Italian Americans. That's
your greasy Dago mustache.
I mean, I've always been. That's what I mean. Shit. That's what I've heard. But maybe it was false.
What is WAP from?
We're Sicilian. So
without
like,
papers.
Yeah. WAP's a good one. Yeah. But WAP is kind of across the board.
True.
Because you could be without papers and from anywhere. You could be from but one of the good WAP. Ones.
Yeah.
A Dago WAP. But that's not a Spanish.
We're just throwing them together now. We're like making the like Voltron.
Listen, as an OG white, this is our favorite pastime. We're going to sit here. We're going to create slurs until we have something
for
that fits.
All the white people. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait, you're more okay, like a Fagliatelle.
I'm curious now because I don't even to be honest, don't know the origin of the word.
Dude, the origins of most racial slurs are kind of fun. Just in general. Because it always starts, oh man, some open mic is eating a bag of dicks right now.
Dude, he is.
I wish you could watch it.
He's cooking.
Dude, I wish that we could stream in the open mics.
I'm putting that together.
Just like in the corner.
Oh, just so we can.
On the screen.
Dude, if we could do play by play of open mics.
Fuck, that would be good.
Which is.
Listen, I understand that this would result in mass suicide.
People would not be happy.
It already does.
But yeah.
Not mass enough.
Not to be nearly fair. To the
you
point
know what the
where
worst part is? Everyone that in comedy that I've known that has killed themselves has been universally respected as a good comic.
Yeah.
It's never the ones you want.
Yeah.
Never, ever. The first time it happened to me that like it really affected me was Richard Bain. Goes by Dick Bain. I'd met him once. I was a door guy, sort of, at this one comedy club in North Hollywood called The Bunker, which is now The Nightcap. But so I would stand outside the door and I would take people's tickets and I'd check them in. And then I would get to do a 10-minute set. And Dick Bain came in one time and he did a joke about DMT and how it's so fucked up because it's supposed to be a real like spiritual experience. And now it's just available to like white girls with a 5'10 thread. And they're just like, oh my God, let's fucking party. Oh, Jesus, what's up? And I'm butchering it for sure. But he absolutely fucking crushed. And then I, in my door guy spot, had to follow him. And I remember being just quaking in my boots. And to whatever success I ever end up having in comedy, it's because I followed so many great fucking people.
Yeah.
And it just put me in tough spots constantly. I mean, but so this one, I have to follow this guy. Just crushed with this incredible stuff. And then I got to get up there and fucking work my magic. But I remember what changed my mind and made me think from neutral good comic to great person was he stayed and watched my set and then afterwards gave me specific compliments on jokes that I made.
Fucking wonderful.
And like, that's cool in comic, Austin. Right? That's unreal in LA.
Yeah.
LA is a soulless, what can you do for me town?
Doggy dog kind of world.
Like it's not even doggy dog. It's dog other. Fuck your best friend's dog in front of its mother in case I get one extra treat.
Yeah.
It's
people
cutthroat
people
nepotism.
Fuck anyone over for even
in,
like, the thought of an opportunity.
Dude, the idea of meritocracy in LA has been butt fucked while drunk to death.
Isn't it super, I mean, like
Harvey Weinstein was a light offender in terms of the soft coercion that goes on in LA of, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. The number that I feel so bad for all of these fucking young women comics there, because the number of just grotesque penis they have to see or touch or suck just to get an
ounce of stage
time. I've
heard it's the same thing about
time.
Like New York comedy scene. Very similar. If like
I never had to suck dick in New York.
Only in LA. Only in LA.
In LA, cock off.
To be clear, New York? Only in LA. Only LA cock over here.
Didn't even need any NyQuil.
I just heard it's very similar, like step on each other kind of thing in New York. Very competitive scene. But I feel like here in Austin, up until recently, and maybe I'm an asshole for saying this, but up until recently, it was a very tight community. And
when would you say recently, sir? I'm interested to see from your perspective.
You really want
is
me to say
is it just from me bitching, or is this from your own
this
observations?
This is from my own observations. It's just being friends with everybody in the scene. Mm-hmm. I feel like it created a rift.
A summoner's rift.
I won't say
League of Legends
today. Raid Shadow Legends. Fucking no.
Today is brought to you by Teamfight Tactics.
Dude, I'm a fucking goat at Teamfight Tactics.
New class now live on the PBE. For six people. And none of them watch this podcast. Making PBE league jokes, dude? What are we talking about? Who even knows that it's on the fucking PBE with the new sets?
We're fucking nerds, okay?
I got 10 KDA.
No. Okay, so real quick. I think I noticed, I don't know how many months ago it was. It's been a few months now. I feel like there became a very us and them mentality. And I noticed it in, like, my friends. Like, I'm noticing my friends are separating. And I'm like, why aren't we all hanging out? Like, why?
Quay, fuck.
Why? Yeah, exactly. Like, what's going on here? And you can attribute it to a few things. There's one major driving factor that doesn't need to be talked about. But
the Jews. No.
No, it's not just, them. It feels
they're
like
here.
There's been more of a separation in like the tiers of comedians instead of it being like you made it past open mic. Now you're just in this community. And
a hierarchy established.
Yeah, a little bit. And maybe that's for the best. Maybe that's for the worst.
Who knows?
I'm not a comedian. But I've definitely noticed it just being around, you know, it kind of feels a little different, a little more competitive than it used to. I feel like people aren't giving as much notes and like giving each other props as much, except for like the tighter knit group. Like you guys, Darian, fucking Carden, like you guys all give each other wonderful props no matter what. No matter where your set is, no matter what time it is, no matter whose show you're on. But you see less and less of it of people who are more like acquaintances, I think.
Yeah.
And it feels like less connections are building and more like, people seeking like an advantage more. You know what I mean?
I think there's a cutthroat nature that's been more evident recently. You know what's really funny is to 99.9% of America, this is the most inside baseball. Talking about the tides turning in the Austin comedy scene amongst
it's become
the
a hub. Yeah. It's become like a real, like a legitimate hub where people are coming to do comedy.
Dog,
like
can you tell I still have makeup on?
No.
Is it moving at all when I touch my eyebrows?
No, you're good.
Bro, so
you never look better.
I look fucking incredible. OnlyFans fucking crushed. I'm beautiful. I asked whores about this outfit.
You should have been wearing a tuxie.
Brother,
and you still wear this.
Look at these fucking shoes.
Go buy a tuxie, even though Mike doesn't have a coat.
But look at these fucking shoes. They're fucking incredible.
I wish you'd have worn the other ones. I voted on the other ones.
I know you did, but then I asked the guy that's editing all of it, who has more visual context for this.
Fair.
And I said, hey, what would look better with this outfit? And he said, these, because the other ones look like moon boots. And to be fair, they do. But also, to be more fair, most comfortable. And they give me like an extra half an inch so I can be 6'2". And that's sick as fuck, dog. I'm just like a fucking micro penis above 6'1". And so if you give me that extra half an inch, I'm lying at 6'2". We're having a good night.
So I
have a thing with my hair. My individual hairs are very thick, mm-hmm. and it's pretty dense, but I'm older. 32 now. I'm almost dead.
Yeah.
So
you're on the tail end.
I'm in the day of my life, I'm at 4:30 p.m. You know? I just missed 4:20 and forgot to take a picture of the fucking clock. You know? That's where I'm at in my life. And so my hair is starting to thin a little bit. So when it's wet, it looks thin. You can see a lot of scalp. When it's dry, it's full and luscious.
It looks great.
But
Trey did a great job.
Trey Pack, Big Barber Trey whatever.
He also cut my hair, not like it was a few weeks ago, so it's kind of grown out. But like, yeah. Trey did a great job on your hair.
Trey crushed it. He's getting better. But
he crushed it. He's getting better.
Well, I've Damn. Had some fucked up cuts from Trey. But I got my haircut from Trey.
Blowjob was nice.
When Trey starts, no, I would never say that about a blowjob. First off, a bad blowjob is a great blowjob because it is a blowjob. The only bad blowjob is when I don't get to come in their face. I don't give a shit. Dog, you can spit it directly back at me. Spit, swallow, doesn't fucking matter. I'm a goddamn adult. I don't give a shit. Just let me come
it
in your face.
It doesn't need to go everywhere.
I've like, said this before, and I'll say it for the rest of my life. How you come is how it all counts.
Fair.
If you're fucking and then you pull out at the end and jerk off, you might as well have jerked off the whole time.
Yeah.
My dick knows the difference.
Yeah, I could see
that. The volume of my cum is changing.
Yeah, like
if
you
I
had
come
fun
in a puss,
a little bit.
That's a gallon and a half. Yeah. If I come from my hand.
Yeah. Your body knows. You're like, your brain knows. It's like, load the fuck up. Like,
yeah. Hey, so how could I be wrong? Brother, what was I talking about before that?
Dude, who knows?
Holy moly.
I
just want to dig out a little of the inside baseball because we became friends before I knew about your interest in comedy just from hanging out at comedy.
Yeah.
And you're one of my favorite human beings.
Thank
and
you.
Then you do a lot of very interesting stuff on the side. And I'll say this. So I like tattoos a lot. And I really like impulsive, silly tattoos.
They're so great.
Where I'm Most just like, I want that. Put it on my body.
Boom.
And
that's my
and one of the drawbacks of impulsive tattoos is while I have great taste for what goes on my body because it's for me and I love it, I am not an artist. When I try to draw a straight line, it looks gay as a rainbow, dog. That is an Alzheimer's patient's on their last limbs. I'm fucking garbage. Yes, I'm garbage at drawing. And I have dysgraphia, so it's all backwards. It's fucked.
Ah, shit.
So
that's tough.
When I have an idea in my head and then I can give that to an artist, my first experience with that was the snake.
Yeah.
And I told the guy, I was like, hey, I want a snake that's kind of cartoonish, but I want Hunter S. Thompson lettering.
Yeah.
And I explained all this.
We live for these kinds of tattoos, by the way.
A Xanax blackout.
This is why we do it. Like, these fucking ridiculous, retarded tattoos that we do. When are you going to, you ask yourself when you get these types of things ready, like your fucking handshake. And I'm like, when am I ever going to get to do this again? Fucking never. Like, this is why we do it. It's so much fun.
All right. I want to hear your opinion as an artist. Imagine this happens at Atomic Pflugerville.
Yeah.
One sec. A quick word from our sponsors. Say sponsors.
Sponsors. Today's podcast is sponsored by Tuxi, but kinda.
And so imagine.
Jameson, but also kinda.
You're at Atomic Pflugerville. You're at work. It's 2 hours before close. A large, drunk man in a t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops walks in, and he goes, "Hello, friends!" to everybody in the tattoo shop.
Yeah.
And then he says, "I want a snake wrapped around my thumb, and then on my hands, I've made him a snake." How are you going to respond to that guy?
There would be a conversation in the back. It would be a fight to be who would get it. We would
really?
All be like, I want it.
No way.
And they're like, no, dude, I haven't fucking done but like two today. I want this tattoo.
No
like,
way.
Yeah, it's we. Dude,
God
we,
damn, that's cool.
We do so many fucking like, you know, the fucking infinity symbols and the Roman numerals and the birth flowers. And they're all great. And they keep your fundamentals sharp and they keep you like. Well practiced, but those you're like, I'll never get to fucking do this again. Like I've done tattoos. I did a Teletubby holding an RPG once, and I'm like, dude, when the fuck is someone else gonna ask for this? This is never gonna happen again. And then I got to do it twice because I explained it. So the chick, it's a long story, but I got to do it twice, and it was great. It's like
tell the short version.
So the chick that wanted it didn't want any color, wanted it really small. So I did it really small for it, just line work. And then I was explaining it to this chick's boyfriend who I was tattooing the chick. And he was like, fuck it, dude. Do it bigger. Do it in color.
Yeah.
And so I got to put it on him the way I wanted to do it. It was fucking sick. It was so like cathartic. I was like,
closure on this.
Everything you're saying is making so much more sense in my life in terms of why people agreed to do these things. Like, so one time I, and this is a joke I've done on stage that's in my fucking special, my last special, I was on a whole heap of Xanax and was just full on blacked out, having a jolly boy time. Yeah, and
having a good time.
What really happened, it's not in the story, is me and my friend, she had stayed at my mom's house and had lived there for a while. And she, while she lived there, she was living in what used to be my old room. And anytime I was in town, I would stay at my mom's house. So that was my room, like, frequently.
Yeah.
And
a few times a year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, when I go up to see my mom, stay for a holiday or whatever, her birthday, you know, I'd drive up there. So I'd stay there. And, like, when I stay there, a lot of the times, especially when I was, like, still in DFW, I would bring over my laundry and do it at my mom's house instead of doing it at the shitty laundromat.
Yeah, fair.
So one of the things that happened is I had left one of my socks. I had a pair of socks that had an avocado on them. On one half, it had the outside of the avocado. On the other half, it had the inside with the pit showing.
Yeah.
And those were just, and you'd wear them on each ankle and it looked like you had an avocado cut in half. And it was cool socks.
I've done that tattoo like several dozen times.
So I had left the avocado half there and kept the other one with me. And I'd always been like, where the fuck did the other half of the tattoo go? But the only reason my socks ever get separated is because I jerk off in one and come in it and then throw it in a corner and then forget to go grab it for laundry time, like, or forget it's there.
Or the empty one gets the cum.
Bingo. So my friend that was living there had found a single avocado sock in the corner.
Just full of cum.
And like had like done laundry and stuff and then like kept that sock. And then she had worn it with a bunch of stuff. And then one time I saw that sock and I was like, oh my God, that's my avocado cum sock.
She's like, I've been wearing this for the last
year. Exactly. And so that night I was out with her and I'm on a bunch of Xanax and we're drunk. And I was like, let's get an avocado tattoo. She goes, I don't want to get any visible tattoos. I go, avocado.
Did she get it?
She did.
Fuck yeah. So there she's a legend.
There is another human being.
With an avocado.
We had a huge falling out. We don't talk anymore and That's fine. Hates me and I hate her. Well, she sucks, but I don't hate her.
But
we had a huge falling out.
Yeah.
And
it happens.
So, but there is just another person out there on the planet that has their right ass cheek as an avocado.
Just wait till you get famous enough and then the avocado bit gets famous enough and then some dude goes, hey, I fucked a chick that had an avocado. And then you get
Dude, I just remembered what I was talking about. My makeup. Makeup.
Full circle makeup on. We're so good.
I wanted him to comb my hair to thicken it up. Yeah. So you wouldn't see any of my scalp in the recording.
Of course.
Because the gel made my hair stick together and they were in little strands instead of fanned out. Yeah, so you could
see scalp through for sure.
And then this wonderful man did that. But then he was like, also, I want to make you less red. And he started putting makeup on. I was like, dog, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be doing comedy. I'm going to be sweating. I'm going to be red as hell.
Yeah, you're good luck, brother.
All right, well, I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. And I was like, you could try. But what I'm telling you right now, your boy get red.
Yeah. And like goes, lipstick red, bro. Okay. Like fire truck red.
Yeah, it's like dog's penis.
Yeah.
The inside.
Dog's penis.
100% red.
But I told him, I was like, the last time I did a big like taping was when I did this bullshit Comics Unleashed thing at the Comedy Chateau in North Hollywood that will never be released.
Yeah.
Dustin Chafin from Crashing, Pete Holmes, that opens for Nate Bargatze now. Okay. AJ Wilkerson, who's blowing up in his fucking own right.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, who's one of the funniest people in California. My friend Alyssa Poteet, who's a fucking hilarious comedian.
Hell yeah.
Jimmy Shin. Ashley Rose. Bunch of good people. Bunch of great fucking comics that were on the verge of something big. We recorded this and they had whatever you can win the movie award. Is it Emmy or Grammy? Whatever the movie award is for makeup.
Yeah.
This bitch won it for some movie. And then she was doing our makeup for it. So she did all my makeup and then she was spraying me with the stuff. She's like, this is setting spray. It'll hold even if you sweat a bunch. And I told her, I was like, well, I sweat a bunch.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of lights in there.
Sweat like a lot.
And she was like, no. It'll hold up through any kind of sweat. So I did the first recording and then I came off between and I went like this and my hand was orange. And I was like, bitch, I sweated. I told you I sweat. And then she was like, well,
you should have used more sentence, brave bitch.
You're the first person I've ever seen sweat like that. And I was like, okay, great. Told you.
Yeah.
10, 11 times.
Yeah. It's not like I didn't warn you.
Is it going to look like my face is melting in the special? And then I never got an answer.
Fucking great.
So some fucking Emmy, Grammy, Oscar nominee bitch with this good at makeup. Didn't believe my hyperhidrosis.
Isn't as good as an OnlyFans makeup artist.
Yeah, and then the OnlyFans makeup artist crushed it. I look beautiful.
It looks great.
Look great.
My eyebrows, which are my best feature, according to multiple strippers, were just slightly thickened.
Same.
Do you get that too?
All the fucking, like, right now it's a little. Yeah, no, honestly, like, I haven't been that many times, to be completely honest.
Sure.
I've gone with the boys.
Yeah.
On a handful of occasions. That's all. It's not something I frequent, but honestly, same thing. Like, they're like, do you shape your eyebrows? And I'm like, no. And they're like, fuck you, honestly. Like, your eyebrows are great. And I'm like, that's a weird compliment to get, but thank you.
I was going to tell you, I'm certain that we get that compliment in a different way. Because the way I get it is they go, oh, hey, baby.
They do. They
you got really great eyebrows.
They take their time.
It's like, bitch, you scared the whole thing. You could say I have big feet, nice knees. I'm a fat guy. I got great calves.
Yeah, dude.
You
got nice legs,
eyebrows,
dude.
You fucking cunt.
You could have been like, those are some powerful legs.
This is why your dad left.
100%. This is why you're stripping.
Here's $20.
Yes, please. Another song.
So you haven't been to you haven't been to that many strip clubs. What's the coolest strip move you've seen?
Oh, man. Just anything where they're like, where it's more acrobatic than anything, where you're like, damn, that actually took some fucking like strength. Like, that's not just you shaking your ass. That's like, you just did a handstand, twisted your fucking legs around, put your fucking legs over someone's shoulder, and you're like, dude, what the fuck, man? Like,
yeah,
that is not easy at all. That is not something that anyone can do. That takes some fucking work.
Yeah.
That's usually top tier.
You took
moves.
Being a slut professional.
Yeah, 100%. You took this shit serious.
Or whatever the nice way is.
You're good. You got the fucking skills like maxed out on the fucking acrobatics and shit, dude.
The only reason I ask that is this chair is giving PTSD to my like top three strip club story.
Very
I have.
Strip club chair.
So I was sitting in a chair much like this. A woman there, when she walked by the tables looking for dances, caught my eye, and it was just physically, I was like, if I had been a cartoon, 100%. My eyes would have popped out, and then I would have had to roll my tongue back up.
Ooga, right? Thanks.
Yeah. Nightmare time. I was like, you know, yeah. I want it. Take my whole wallet. You know,
yeah. It's fucked whenever they realize that that's what they like. You're like, damn, I'm his type. And then it's over. Like, you're like, shit. Damn it.
There's not a chance in the world this woman didn't smell blood in the water. Like,
yeah,
a fucking 100%. Shark.
Their eyes
like,
go black,
my fucking
dude.
Cartoon eyes. And then she was like, hello, rubbing me. I was like, whoa, like, how'd you get here? You know?
She's but, like, we're going to spend the whole night together. And you're like, okay.
Correct. I have $100 in ones. And I'm like, I'll count them. We're going to the back. I'm not wasting ones on these whores. I found my new wife. You know?
But I'm in love.
Yeah. And this was years ago. So not new wife, but whatever. So just for timeline clarity. But I remember like this specific girl, I like went back with her to get a dance, and it's $20 a dance. And the first dance, I peel out 21s and then I take like five off for a tip and I slap it on the table. And then she starts doing cool dancing stuff. And then she is twerking here.
Yes.
And then she puts her hands on my knees. And then
knees from, on your shoulders.
Knees on my shoulders. And I'm like, what? And then she does a flip into in front of me and then starts twerking again. And then this is the cool part.
Yeah.
She does a back bend and she puts her head on my dick. So like her jaw is upside down. So I could like throat fuck her if there were no pants there. So she's got her head like that. And then she whips her body. So her pussy hits me in the face. And I'm like, And I like, it was such like, a Disneyland
shit.
Of pussy experience that you were like, oh,
like, yeah, like,
there should have been someone taking a picture at the moment.
You just 100%. You should have been able to buy those fucking photos.
So she did that. And like, I grabbed her legs
that'd
and
be
like,
so cool.
That, well, I don't know why they don't do
inner Monkey Mike was just like, I'm gonna fuck it. You know, like, I'll give you my whole wallet. You know, like, it's so
You're
bad.
You're coming home with me.
You know, you just go retard with a boner. You're just like, ah!
You know? Yeah, all the blood leaves your brain.
So I gave her the rest of my money. She did cool stuff.
She made you hit the ATM.
It doesn't matter what happened next.
Did she make you hit the ATM? Just yes or no. That's all. I don't need to know how many times you hit the ATM. Did she make you hit the ATM?
Yes.
Oh my God. God damn.
However.
That was a good one, bro. She was a professional.
That bitch was good.
Obviously, he didn't bring enough money to go to the ATM.
Fuck.
I'll wait until you gentlemen are done on my podcast making fun of the king of ATM returns. Sorry, you don't know how to fun, America.
Morning, dude. Fuck. God damn.
So anyways, that's not the reason it's my favorite story.
No, but it's definitely a good.
But that's a big part. That's the part where it was like, oopsie doodles, I've made a mistake. But then,
there goes my rent. Kind of shit.
Oh, rent for 2 months was gone. And it was like I had just made a nest egg, and then it was all gone.
He's like, she's worth it.
He's like, total justification. It's not even like he knows he's doing something bad. It's like,
hey, later time, Justin, bleep this part. So after her and her friends suck my dick, raw, no condom, and I just throated them, and they rah, and I just fucking super cummies down the back. You can stop bleeping now.
Also.
So after that,
that'll be the market.
After that, after that, when my bank was empty, I was like, kind of fucking sick.
Hey, worth though. At least
I feel like, duh, God. So I walk back, poor shit, to my friends.
Your fucking chest is out and your chin is high. Walking out of the
brother, I was 6'6", 180. I look like a fucking first round draft pick at wide receiver.
100%.
I was cocky. And I walk back to my friends who are still all not spending crazy stupid amounts of money. And I walk back, and the guy that was my boss at the time was like, so do you have a good time? So they could all see and smell it on me. And I know. And I said to him, Bob. It's not his name, but I'm going to use that one so I don't fuck it up and say his real name a bunch. I said, Bob, that was the best lap dance I've ever had in my life. Bob, you've been to more strip clubs than anybody I've ever met in your life. Please, please go get a lap dance from her. And he goes, that good. And I go, Bob, I'm not fucking around. This isn't like a silly haha mic joke. This is a serious thing. She did Cirque du Soleil in a way that made my pee pee hard, and I can't explain it. He goes, all right. So he, you know, goes back.
It was more than just shaking your ass. That was a performance. Like, you were selling it, dude.
Brother, and the part we bleeped out? Boy, howdy. Boy, howdy. She was a baby bird, and my wiener was a mother burping up food. It was...
That deserves a dab, my goodness.
So...
Don't need to bleep anymore.
No, you still have to bleep it.
Okay. Just that part.
That part can stay in for context clues.
Yeah.
Because there's not like a Patreon where they can see the full thing.
We're dropping Easter eggs. But he doesn't want just all of it out at once. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So my boss, Bob, goes back, gets a lap dance. The way that the room
Does he have the same experience? So, are we getting there?
Okay, yeah. Okay, so the way the room is set up is this is the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas, where there are more live dancers than anyone in the world. And there's like 28 stages with like 140 girls dancing.
So dropping names doesn't matter. This place is fucking like the mega mall of strippers.
It's huge. It's the biggest strip club we've ever been in. And that's why I told him, I was like, Doug, this is the real deal. This is my first time there with him. And so we're in this main area where there's a main stage, and then the private rooms where you get the lap dances and such are off to the side, like a short walk away, but they are still in the same main room.
Yeah.
Like the same way that like you can see the sound booth from the stage.
Is it just beads separating, or do you have doors?
Curtains, huge curtains. But it's just curtains like this. Yeah. There's no walls. There's just curtains.
Yeah.
but they're soundproof and heavy.
Yeah, and there's a fucking DJ.
And it, there's like built-in like different levels. There's steps and stuff. So like the private room is up.
There's tiers.
6 or 7 steps.
Okay.
So when your back is on the wall in the chair like this, you're like 10 feet above the people behind you.
You feel.
And like behind that is like a walkway and stuff. So I'm with all my friends.
You're big pimping 10 telling, feet above the peons.
I'm back. I just sent Bob off. Nice. Bob's with the same girl. He just gave her money.
He went up.
And I'm telling all my friends about what happened and like bragging about the bleeped out part. We're all high fiving. They're all married. Dude, we're laughing.
Fucking,
it's fucking awesome. One of them is like in the group chat, always says very racist stuff. And someone made a black chick go and dance on him. And he's like, ugh. You know, like it's like we're having a great time. We're having fun. Time's flying. We're drinking. And then we notice like Bob's not back. And we're like, where the fuck is Bob? And then we're like starting to worry like, oh, no. And then I'm like, I know where Bob is.
Okay?
I know where Bob is.
We know where Bob is.
And then a loud through the thing. Like there's loud music playing.
Yeah.
It's very loud stripper music. It's
like rave music.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
And there's just little spotlights. But you can hear a pretty big like crash and rip thing. And then you start seeing lights you didn't see before. And you look over. Bob's chair has fallen. When she did the move on Bob where she stuck her head here and snapped the ass back, she pulled Bob and they flipped over WWE style and went over the railing. This chick broke her fucking ankle.
Fuck.
Bob
like
got
bone
a,
exposed?
Bob got like a fucking
her shit.
Bob got a hernia. It's a whole fucking thing. She has to go in an ambulance. He has to go to the doctor. Then there's this whole explanation of what happens, like jujitsu or whatever. You know, like it's a it's a whole fucking crazy thing. And then everybody's like, Mike, that chick was that good. I was like, I landed it. Dog. I caught that
I
shit.
I stuck that shit and went,
the fucking like hit me in the face. And I said, nah, we're staying here.
Yeah.
Papa's hungry.
You got to catch that shit. Yeah. Holy fuck. What were we talking about before?
How thick and beautiful my hair is and how I'm not balding at all.
He's doing great. His hair looks just about as thick as mine.
I wish.
No, it looks great.
Oh, we were talking about when people come in with dumb tattoos and how you guys get excited to do them.
Yeah, dude, I've done a lot of dumb tattoos that make me very happy. They make me more happy than the meaningful tattoos because there's more pressure involved with meaningful tattoos, you know, like a memorial or something like that. You're like, don't fuck this up. This has a lot of emotional attachment.
Yeah.
When someone comes in and they say, I want a milkshake on my hand, you know, fucking handshake. And you're like, dude, Let's go. Let's fucking, none of us are taking this seriously. This is the lowest stakes, which means your brain is like, there's less inhibition to like take a chance on something and be like, I think I should do it this way. That's outside the comfort zone, but maybe look better. You like kind of play it safe on the tattoos that matter. You know what I mean? But like the tattoos that don't matter, you're like, fuck it. Let's try some shit. Let's go for it. Like, let's do some weird shit. Let's make some crazy colors or like, let's do like weird composition.
So I was going to check my phone, but it doesn't matter. So probably be next week, but we're going to do the rib piece.
Yes.
Do you have designs ready?
I've got it. Like it's not finished, but I have like the layout of how I want it to be. Like the structure of it is there. The details are not, you know what I mean? But that can be done relatively quickly.
So spoiler alert, and this will be on my OnlyFans. We're going to live stream it. I'm getting
It's not going to be a short tattoo. It's going to be a good long stream. You'll be able to tune in for a little bit.
I'm getting a Lil Jon pimp cup.
Chalice.
It's like a chalice bejeweled to the max. And that's filled with biscuits. And then that is overflowing with gravy.
Yep.
Over the top of it. And then it says more gravy, less problems.
Yeah.
And that's going to take up as much of my torso as I can afford.
It's going to look fucking crazy. He's a good friend and he lets me do whatever. Like he gives me an idea and then just lets me kind of do whatever. And the fucking butterfly on our previous episode, whenever I was just a little like guest on Highly Social, it was neither of them knew what the fuck was going. He was like, dude, you want to tattoo us? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, all right, cool. I'll see you tomorrow. And just didn't fucking see. I was like, all right, cool. I'm just going to bring something, and it was the butterfly. And dude,
that's one of the reasons I love you so much, is like you just roll with the shit. It was literally Chris Ramsey and Wes Barker. Shout out to the boys.
They're wonderful. I love
two of the best magicians in the fucking world.
They need to delete
world.
A picture of me off of their phone. It would be really great if they could do that.
But Chris, the first couple times I met him, he did magic tricks that ripped my mind in half in a way that I can't explain.
For those of you that don't understand, Mike responds like, this is going to sound terrible, but we're on Highly Social, so it doesn't matter. He responds like black people in the hood. Like when you do magic in front of like, I'm fucking families from Louisiana. I get it. I've been around a lot of them. You do magic in front of people are doing high knees and shit, dude. People are like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Mike is exactly like that.
I sure am.
The insane amount of reaction out of everything that they did. But what they did was great and like really well.
To be fair,
they're wonderful.
One of the things that Chris did in front of Jerm was, he had him select a card. He selected a card, the three of spades. And
four.
Yeah. And then he shuffles the cards a bunch and he puts them back together and then he does a bunch of stuff. And then he has him pick a card again. And Jerm picks a card and the card says, fuck you.
But
and then we all laugh.
In this incredibly serendipitous moment, it was fucking wild.
He built
wild.
Up some more stuff and I'm skipping some things. But like, so he does that. And then after he does the fuck, Jerm reads the fuck you and looks up, laughs. We all smile. Chris gives him middle finger. And then he turns his middle finger sideways and tattooed in 10-year-old ink, not fresh, not brand new, not done right now, is four of spades. And Jeremiah, as a tattoo artist, is like, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? How's the tattoo there? How'd you do that? And is just losing his fucking...
Dude, we to hung the out point the whole weekend. Every like 6 hours, I'd be like, hey, man, let me see your fucking tattoo. Like every little bit of time, I'd have a drink or two and be like, hey, you still got that tattoo?
Like, it got to the point where checking, like, dude. I'm having internal conversations like, do I bring it up with Jerm? Like, do I tell him to stop
the
asking them this?
Me up, dude.
Because this is their job. And it would be like,
no, but even
asking a comedian how you came up with that punchline 46 times in a row, because he kept asking, he was like, no, let me see the tattoo. And like, we would all just be hanging out, laughing, having fun, having a great conversation.
Hey, hold on.
Let me see it.
Pause. Let me see that tattoo.
And it wasn't like, let me see it, like, oh, look at it and glance and it's there. It was like, let me see it. I'm going to rub on it. Like,
I'm going to fucking look at it, dude. That's in there. Dude.
Yeah. You look like Adam Sandler and,
he dropped it. I don't know if he dropped it or what happened. He fucking...
You stole it.
This,
you stole
no,
it.
No. This showed up like two or three times again throughout the time that we were hanging out with the guys. And I kept it. And then eventually after I tattooed him, I was like, fuck it. So I put four spades on my fucking thumbs. And I keep this in here because it's fucking wild. The whole story,
dude,
like, what are the fucking odds?
That dude, the
I
whole
say,
shit
like,
was...
It was insane. I fucking love those guys and they're absolutely wonderful.
Fucking bonkers. Truly on a level, but so we hung out with them a few more times. And then after that, I was, Chris and Wes agreed to be on my podcast. And so then the night before, I have a thing called coughing syncope where my left lung.
We're going to tell this story.
Yeah. My left lung only works at like 30%. It's fine. I'm going to die whenever. Who cares? But because of that, sometimes when I take a really hot dab or like a really stale vape or I laugh too hard at the time of one of those others, it cuts off all of the oxygen to my brain and I just windows shut down.
So for context, he had told me and we were all hanging out. He had only told me and only me that this had happened.
Yeah. And I think he had seen it once before. But it's just Jerm. And we're in an Airbnb with like 10 people.
Freak out.
And he has his Puffco proxy with the big like, or not the proxy, the peak.
The peak at the time. Yeah.
But so we're hitting dabs out of this big fucking thing, like dab rig bong thing. And we're smoking them. And Chris is telling me a fucking unbelievable, hilarious, behind the scenes, can't be mentioned again story.
I was there. It was fucking great. It was a great story.
It's enthralling in a way you can't describe.
Yeah.
When you meet truly fascinating people, they have stories that you could never repeat again because it would be such an injustice to
try. It would be a disservice to and, them. Yeah, honestly.
So it's one of those stories. And then he gets to this big reveal at the end. And it's right as I'm like, it's like when you do a spit take with water
yeah.
or drinks or yeah. booze, whatever. And I've just finished inhaling the stab and I'm starting to hold it in. And he hits the punchline and I go, and I laugh so hard. And then I have a beer in my hand and then I feel it and I go, ooh, and I know it's happening. My brain is shut down, but my body knows what's up and it like checks behind me. And so I, from his perspective,
quite gracefully,
I just kind of like settled onto the ground and then spilled my beer.
Like settled, like fell in such a way that it felt intentional to those guys.
And it looked like I was just sitting.
And
like,
I knew what was happening, but for a second, I had to consider that maybe he was doing it because he landed with the beer flat on the ground. Like, dude, he set the beer down.
He's a professional.
He's fucking good. And his head hit the ottoman. Like, his head rested on the ottoman. Like, the way that he fell couldn't have been better for, like, maybe sustaining a head injury or something like that. Yeah. Because he could have, but he didn't because and he had a soft ottoman, didn't spill a beer.
But so that was the part that woke me up is that I didn't spill the beer on the way down and then I started coughing and just spilled the beer on myself.
Yep.
And I woke up to like coughing and spilling the beer. And
everybody
was like,
freaking out. And I was like, hey, Mike.
Hey
Mike.
Yeah. And he kept saying that. I came up to him. I was like, hey, what's up, man? And he goes, you're good. I go, yeah.
I was like,
and then
happened.
I stand up with like wet pants. And I'm like, oh, man, I spilled the beer.
Everybody was like, we killed Mike.
For a second.
You did.
Everyone.
No, Chris. Chris is the one that delivered the punchline that Chris then was. Rendered him unconscious.
Okay. Everyone in the room for a very solid amount of time was for sure convinced I was dead.
I was the only one laughing.
3 or 4 seconds, which makes it so much better because 3 or 4 seconds go by where everyone's like, Mike's dead. And Jim's like, ha, 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 ha. And then he's like, Mike. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what the fuck? And then Chris and Wes are both like, you know, it's good that you're a comedian. Because if you were like a lawyer or a doctor, we would call an ambulance right now to check on you. We would take you to the hospital and make sure you're okay. But you do the ha-has, so like, you're good, dog.
Dude, yeah, they were like, good thing you're not important. Some shit. I was like, god damn, dude. But like, it makes sense. They thought he was doing a bit. Like, they thought he was falling out in like such an exaggerated way.
But and still it was soft.
In actuality, he was just unconscious as fuck for like 10 whole seconds.
To be fair, I've only done it while I was driving twice.
Yeah. God damn it. Yeah, I've heard those stories. They're terrifying. I don't ever want to ride with my
dog. What I
see.
He
when
smokes while he drives, so it's going to happen.
It's not about
eventually.
That. It's not about that. It doesn't happen anymore because I don't take dry vapes. I don't have a fucking mechanical mod.
Yeah.
And I don't have any fucking, I don't use the Puffco Plus when I'm driving.
Yeah, fair.
Those are the only things that can generate the kind of viscosity of hit that removes oxygen from my lungs
like
in a way
a
that when I cough
back kind of thing, dude. Thing. Yeah.
But back in the day when I had the fucking old school mods that had a button press bottom made out of full copper that I'd put.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking
you make your own coils for it. 10850s
like and I'd make Clapton coils and be like 0.03
Clapton
ohms.
Clapton coils are this shit, dude.
Dude, Clapton fucking, coils are when you
that's
take
a deep cut two for piece vape culture, dude.
Yeah. Suck my dick, the internet. I know everything about everything. PBE team fight tactics to Clapton coils. Your boy's an incel that gets pussy.
You should check this guy on Pokemon.
Check me out on Pokemon Unite. I will fuck your life up, dog. Find me. I'm Giggle
dude,
Boy,
bitch.
He sends
bitch.
Me
his scores at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, you're a monster. Like, you're an absolute fucking animal.
Brother, I'm going to pull out 22 kills, 4 assists, 133,000 damage in a 7-minute game as Cramorant at 1430 mastery, bitch. Dude, what you
wild.
Fucking with?
Wild. Just shitting on entire teams, to be completely honest.
But so Clapton coils, if you don't know, is when you take, so Canthal wire is what you have to use because it heats up quickly. When you make a coil, the tighter the coil and the smaller the coil, the lower the resistance is because it's easier for a current to travel through it.
Yeah, there's more contact between.
If you take two pieces of wire and you put them on a drill bit and then you spin it so they go together and they braid.
So a Clapton coil
and
was.
And then you roll a coil with that.
From what I understand,
now
it was
it's
like a
quadruple touch.
It was like a 6 or an 8 gauge in the middle and then like a 10 or a 12 gauge on the. It was like a thin one on the outside, but a thick boy through the middle, right?
It didn't matter. I always did
it
with 8 and 8.
8 and 8.
Just yeah, both. 8 and 8s hell all
yeah.
day.
You just, yeah, it because just
you twist
so
them
much.
Together and then you could wind such a tight coil with those.
Yeah.
Because when they're spun together really, really tight, it's not like this. It's like this.
Yeah.
And then you have
they
this
lay
thing,
on each other.
It looks like barbed over. Wire.
Yeah.
So you'd wrap those and you could get like 0.03, 0.04 ohms.
Mm-hmm.
And then you weave some eco cotton through there and then yep. just drip it with 98%.
Did you ever have
PG.
Cotton bacon? Was that your shit? Did you ever use cotton bacon?
No.
Oh my God. That was the best cotton that I ever fucking used. Did you ever? Okay. So this is odd, but
let's
I
get
did
in
it.
There.
You get something that's like the size of a nickel, something mm-hmm. that's probably steel or titanium preferably, but it's kind of hard when you're like 16 to get a piece of titanium, and then you put it on top of your coils.
Okay.
And then you put a dab on said plate.
Oh yeah. No,
did you ever use your setup like that? Because I didn't. No. It was fucking hellish. It
the
was
the whole time
I damaged my lungs for sure.
The whole time I was into like super mod dab culture, like yeah. that culture.
Yeah,
I was completely sober from all drugs except for nicotine.
Word.
So I like didn't get into it the first time I took a dab. So from 14 to 19, I smoked like a goddamn fiend as much as I could get my hands on. The first time that I had bad weed, it was middies.
Yeah.
I was 19 and I was in town and this guy sold me a $35 eighth. And I was like, oh shit, the homie hookup. Oh, it's got all these seeds. And then I smoked it and got a terrible headache and was like,
like, I want to go fight this guy. Right now.
I looked full down.
Like, I've been robbed.
Yeah. And then I went back to just buying Dro, as we used to call it. And then it got into
Hydro.
But just Dro for short.
Of course.
But we got into hydroponics and we got like nice strain names and it was really cool. And then I found people that were like dispensaries before dispensaries were open, but in North Texas.
Yeah.
And then I went to college and then I came back and I got sober. And so from
Skinny Mike,
May of 2010 to July of 2013, I didn't do any drugs at all. Then in July, I got back into it. And then I moved to Denton and I moved in with two strippers and my best friend from high school.
Hell yeah.
And I started managing a
real
pizza
clean
place.
Environment.
Yeah. Well, I went out. I was like, I'm a fucking king. And I started managing this pizza place. And one of the delivery drivers was like, yo, if you're looking for some dank weed. And I was like, I sure fucking am. And he gave me this dude's number. And I go over to this guy's apartment. And he lives on campus at UNT. And I walk in there. And all of his friends are playing fucking Halo on a big projector screen. I'm like, oh, fucking lit. So I walk back and I buy like $150, $200 worth of weed. Which in 2013, 2014 prices.
It was like, what, an ounce and a half, 2 ounces? 1 ounce? Mm-hmm. Brother.
1 ounce, but of fire.
Of like the best you could get.
Was that some
dispensary gasoline?
Okay.
Like okay. $150, $200 for an ounce, ounce and a half of dispensary. But his whole thing was anytime you buy over an ounce, you get a dab. And he was like a trust fund kid, so he
That's
had nice shit.
That's a businessman right there, honestly.
So he has this beautiful bong. And I still remember because the mouthpiece was only like a 32, 34 gauge.
Yeah.
In like 34
yeah.
millimeter.
Yeah.
Like with an 18 being like a fat mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So like it's not very thick and it goes down and then it goes into a bulb. And then in the middle of two bulbs is a huge piece of coral.
Nice.
Like natural like coral.
Perk. Oh, natural.
So it's a natural like coral perk inside of this
coral?
Bulb. Real coral. And then in the base of it, it went into a thing that had
you're
a big.
You're smoking out of an aquarium?
And
dude?
Then it had a big.
What the fuck, man?
And then it had a big metal
were there
nail.
Sharks in there?
And
what
then
the
a
fuck?
Huge glass around it.
Okay.
And then an opening at the top. So I had not done
how
any
tall
drugs.
Was this thing? Just curious. Sorry. Jesus Christ. Okay. That makes more sense. I thought it was like you, the way you were making it look in your hands.
So
I was
went
like
this.
Okay. Okay. That makes way more sense because you were making it seem like it was a very small object. And I was like, how do you fit all of that in that? But no,
the thing
sense.
Itself was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And as a glass boner, I was just like, I want it. You know, I'm like looking at it. And then I've never done a dab, but I'm trying to play cool in front of younger people.
100%.
So I'm like, yeah, dog, I'm down. So he lights up the nail and then he scoops out like a fat gooper, just a big old boy. And he goes, one. Is this all right? And I go, yeah, man, for sure. I have no idea
fired
what I'm
up,
getting
baby.
Into. And I'm also newly back on the sauce. So I don't have legendary mic tolerance again yet.
Yeah.
So he puts it on there and I remember pulling through it. Normally when you pull a bong, there's a there's that distinct pattern of bubbles hitting and the air pressure change between them. But it's one bubble at a time. It's
This one
with
was,
this, because it was coral, the water that was pulling through was essentially foam.
Yeah.
So what it felt like is I was drinking the end of a milkshake. It was that, but with my whole mouth, and I'm pulling it through, and it kind of felt like I was waterboarding my lungs because of the way I was pulling water through. But the waterboarding is happening up here instead of in me. So it's a very uncomfortable feeling, but then pure dab flavor.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I like this.
You're like, I've been smoking like a fucking
It's the same way the first time you hit a cigarette.
Yeah.
You're like, this isn't.
To be honest, it was the first time I hit like something like this instead of a cigarette, like nicotine salts, something that uses nicotine salts. I was like, what the fuck have I been doing?
Bingo.
Why the fuck have I been setting shit on fire? This is the way.
The future.
Same thing with that.
Get over here. China.
You know? Dude. A fucking just quick, the first time I hit a dab, the guy.
Wait, let me finish this. And then you tell
me. Go.
But so I hit the dab and I hold it in and I exhale and I'm like, it's the best flavor I've ever had. Holy fucking shit. And the exhale didn't feel voluminous enough for how long I felt like I was inhaling because of the massive bubble rate.
Yeah.
And then he goes, all right, brother, I'll see you soon. So we dap up. We walk. He walks me to the door. I like wave bye to everybody. And then I'm like, where's my car? and then I'm like playing this fun game of like, I've been in 800,000 apartment complexes and I'm like, where's my car? Then I'm like, I remember this building. And I'm just walking towards stuff. And then I'm just out in the parking lot, just pushing the lock button. Nowhere fucking close. 30 minutes later, I find my car. I get in my car and I'm like, all right, time to drive. And then I remember I turned on the Black Keys album, Thick Freakness.
Favorite.
And I turned it up and I leaned my seat all the way back. It was just like,
I'm going to kick it right here for a minute, dude. This is where I need to be.
Midnight! And I'm just fucking cumming my pants, dude. Like, full hard on. Just listening to old Black Keys, having the time of my life. And like, from that time forward, I was like, that's what weed's supposed to be.
100%, dude. Yeah, no, the first time I was broken off a dab, it was off of like a whole slab. And he broke off like a fucking dime size piece. And it was probably close to a half gram. I would say now that I know what that feels like later on. But goddamn, because I was just looking at the whole slab and I was like, it's a tiny piece. Look at that compared to the whole thing. That's so small comparatively. That means I shouldn't get very high. And then we watched like Discovery for 2 hours by accident. I was like, I gotta go home. And then I had the same problem where I went to leave his house and I was like, I don't live here. I don't know where my fucking, and I had a truck, a 1990 truck that didn't have a fob. So I was just walking around for a while.
Just looking.
And then there was a concrete barrier behind where I was. And I was high enough to, instead of put it in drive, put it in reverse, hit that concrete barrier, realize I didn't hit a car. So I didn't need like insurance or like, I was like, fuck it, we're out of here, dude. We're gone, dude. I was like 16, so I was like, I gotta go home, dude. I was fucking so high, but I remember it feeling like, dab it, this 16. Is what I wish I could, like, smoking so many blunts and smoking so many bowls. This is what I've been like trying to get to.
Yeah.
I only need one of those. Like, that sounds,
how old are you?
Way more efficient. 26 now.
All right. So I'm 32.
Yeah.
I was talking to my 23-year-old marijuana dealer the other day, allegedly.
CBD dealer.
Allegedly.
In-game drug dealer.
Allegedly.
In-game.
And he was talking to me about taking dabs before walking into middle school. And I was like,
God.
I've never felt older than thinking about my boy just taking a dab rip and walking into world geography. Just be like, I'm about to learn about Russia for the first time.
My other friend who's
13 years old,
no, larger. I won't say his name, but he went to my birthday dinner.
He's so awesome.
He's one of my favorite human beings in the entire world. I love him to death. He fell.
Dude, that just gave me chest pains thinking about your birthday dinner.
Dude, that shit was.
Fogo rips.
Bro, we were just, everybody was just groaning. Like, nobody was talking for the whole time. Every time meat would show up, everybody would just be like,
bro, that was a Mexican wet dream because it was all green cards.
Dude, he's like, bring it the fuck
on. Not a red circle inside. We were just like, green, my boy.
But bro, he got prescribed like some really heavy pain pills whenever we were in middle school. And I remember it was throughout a lot of middle school. He got hurt. He's a big boy. The little shit's not going to work on him. And we would take him. And my favorite one was we took a shit ton of an unnamed substance.
Perk 30s.
Went on our eighth grade high school tour. And then all of us just were fucking wonderfully high. So we just wandered off. And none of us stayed with the group. One of my friends was found out just sitting in the parking lot, sitting down in a parking space, just chilling. Dude,
I love that.
Fat chilling. Me and Gus went on an adventure.
Not Gus, a different person.
Shit. Bleep that fucking
His name's
name.
Bob.
Bleep the name. Fuck. Nah,
no one that knows Gus is gonna see this.
I'm high enough. But yeah, I don't wanna incriminate my boy.
Dude. So for my
fuck. I went the whole story
you
until
did
the
so
very
good.
Fucking
good.
End.
If I hadn't pointed it out, only the comments would have known.
Oh, God, you're right.
17 people would have pointed this out. So my junior and senior year, we had unlimited college visits for excused absences.
Nice.
And I love skipping school.
Yeah, it's the best.
And there were 7 colleges within like 30 minutes. Yeah. So usually we would just, me and my best friend,
just make some shit up.
After football practice, we'd be like, I don't want to go to class today. Let's do a college visit. So we'd call in, pretend to be our parents, sign up for the college visit, leave, go. And then all of the colleges in the area, they have forms set up for college visits. They're ready for it.
Yeah.
So I will say until I was like 22, 23, I was maybe the worst person ever. I was a fucking nightmare. And
dude,
so,
yeah, most my, guys.
My
yeah,
best friend would go to drive us. Yeah. We ran a bootleg alcohol business where his older brother would buy us a bunch of liquor at the store and then we would water it down slightly and put it in water bottles. And
no, sell it.
Resell
it. Go, dude.
So a $10 handle of Taka would make 3.5 water bottles of vodka, but if you split that among 4 and then fill the rest up with water, you could sell them for $10
dude,
a water bottle.
Dude, wait, I've been there.
Yeah. But we'd sell it for $10 a water bottle. I got my truck keyed because this one alcoholic chick, shout out Lauren, you know who you are.
I ain't bleeping that.
This one, no, you don't.
We're not bleeping
no,
that.
No, you don't, because I'm going to tell her to watch this. But Lauren fucking yelled at us and was like, You fucking watered down your alcohol. I know I'm a fucking alcoholic. I drank a water bottle and I didn't feel shit. She had a tolerance.
That's so, when you have a problem. Like, maybe it's time to just go get some help. If you drink a water bottle of what you think is alcohol and you can tell it isn't.
Nah, dog, that means you have discerning taste.
that means you're distinguished.
Congratulations on getting married. I'm very happy for you. But she just recently got married. I'm very happy for you. But so like that was me and Jordan's fucking business is we would just sell that shit. And then occasionally as a treat to ourselves, we would get Everclear and we would make Everclear drinks and have a good time. So one of these times when we
like
decided,
real Everclear?
Real Everclear. Okay, 99.9%, 188 proof. The crazy fucking kill you in your dick shit.
Almost moonshine kind of
if
shit.
If you mix that 3/4 Everclear, 1/4 Gatorade, it's barely palatable.
Dude, thinking about Everclear makes me want to throw the fuck up. Jesus Christ.
I don't want to keep saying it. I hope you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to vomit. But so one of those days, so directly across the street from our senior high was a 7-Eleven. This girl, Georgia, worked there. She didn't card us. Me and Jordan both fucked her in the walk-in cooler at 7-Eleven.
Together or like separately?
Different times.
Okay.
Me first. What's up?
I feel like that's important to distinguish.
But so she was like the first person to let me buy dip and cigarettes. And I tried all my different tobacco products.
Nice.
So we would go over and see Georgia in the morning. We would hang out and we would talk to her. And then we would get a bunch of taquitos and big Monster energy drinks. And one morning me and Jordan are over there and we're talking. And we're like, I don't want to fucking go to school today. And I was like, me either, dog. It was a college visit, and I go, SMU. Yeah. And SMU is my safety school. My dad went there. He donated a bunch of money, so I'm, like, for sure getting in. But I still want to go on college visits because I've been there to go to church, like, 100 billion times.
Yeah.
This is a very long self-indulgent story, but it's my podcast. Suck my dick.
We're here.
So
continue, sir.
Dude, one day I'm gonna have Alzheimer's. I'm gonna watch these things and remember the shit.
Exactly.
So me and Jordan drive back over to the football parking lot. I park my truck. I get in his, and then he goes, "You got to drive," and I go, "Okay." So I drive and I drive around to the front. He has to go. I can't remember if it was he was grabbing something with his girlfriend, but he had to grab something from somebody. Mm-hmm. And so we drive and we park. And while we're parked, I moved over to the passenger seat. And then he comes back over and sees me in the passenger seat and it's locked. And I go, and he goes and gets in the driver's seat and he goes, "What the fuck? You said you'd drive." And I go, "I can't." He goes, "Why?" And then I picked up a water bottle of Everclear and Gatorade and went,
"That's why, motherfucker."
And I just squirted and chugged it. And I drank the equivalent of like 8 shots of Everclear in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And I just, and then he goes, "That's fuck you." And so he starts punching me. And I start punching him back. And now we're just fighting in the parking lot. And he hits me in the face. He busts my lip open. It's bleeding. And I'm like, "Ha ha ha. Now you have to drive." Now I'm fucking hammered. We drive to SMU. The best part of SMU is when you get there and you go in, you can talk to them and be like, "Hey, I'm on a college visit." They go, "Do you want to do a guided tour or a self-guided tour?" So we knew by this point you do self-guided. And then when you do self-guided, they give you a little laminated thing that is an unlimited free food pass at the cafeteria at SMU. What? So we've done this a couple times. So we know we can get a bunch of free food. So we walk in. Problem is,
kids.
We just boxed bare knuckle in the car. And I am blackout drunk aggressively, also on what is now considered steroids. I bought them at the vitamin shop from a company called FX Labs, and now they're illegal. But what I was taking, shit, the 28 pills a day when I was benching 400 pounds, was steroids.
28 pills a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Yeah, but like
strength.
That's a lot of pills. It's worth it. That's so many.
I was so strong. But well, I would do cocaine as a pre-workout, and then I would take all these fucking pills, and I would lift at 24-hour fitness until they kicked me out, and it was a good time.
Until they kicked you out. 24-hour fitness.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out.
In the suburbs, they're like, "You have to stop." But and I was just eating dog shit steak and shake, so I've never been lean in my life. I was just fat as fuck and strong as hell. But so that's me, and now I'm fat as fuck, strong as hell, and drunk as shit. And it's 10:30 a.m. in Dallas, Texas at SMU. Oh, and I walk in with a busted lip, bleeding, and swollen face, Jordan's swollen face. And we walk in and we go, "We're here for a college visit." They go, "What? What?
Don't worry about it.
Here," and we hand them the flyer from our school, and it has my blood on it. And the lady like, "What happened?" I go, "We got in a car accident on the way here, but we still wanted to check out the college." And I said that. And Jordan looks over me like, "Talk what?" And I am drunk as shit. And I go, "Fucking go with it." Out loud in front of the lady. I fucking rolled 99 charisma and just ruined it. Drunk as shit. Trying to tell her, "Stop lying." You know? Full idiot. And he's told me the story a bunch of times, but the lady gets very mad, and I go, "Listen, we just want a food. Give us the tickets, and we'll get it out of your hair." She goes, and stamps her shit and gives us the tickets. And then Jordan tackles me on the way out of there. Because I'm talking shit to him super loud, taunting my ticket like, "We got fucking food, bitch!" Like, just being a piece of shit. So they call campus security. Then we have to drive, and we're leaving. And we're... Jordan is not afraid of committing more crimes. He's a cool guy. We're he's best really friends chill, for dude. A reason. And he's got a fast truck. So now we're doing burnouts through Highland Park, taking stop signs, going 65 and a 30, just flying. Yeah. So campus security can't find us. And we go through an SMU residential area where all of the dorms and stuff are.
Yeah.
And there's this crazy hot chick crossing the crosswalk. So he comes to a stop at the stop sign. And then she goes, "What are you guys doing?" And I go, "I don't know. Why don't you come with us?" She goes, "I'm not coming with you." And I was like, "Well, let me get your number." She goes, "You can have me on Facebook." And I give her my phone and she adds me. She has me at her on Facebook. And I leave. I'm still friends with this girl on Facebook to this day. Shout out Tatiana. But, she added me on Facebook from my phone on her account.
Nice.
And then Jordan is like, what the fuck was that? And I'm like, I don't know. And then we drive around for like 10 minutes and I convince him it's okay. And then we go back and we go into the dining hall. And I vaguely remember they had bowls that were like normal bowl size for like the cereal stuff. Mm-hmm. And then right behind that, they had like some like clean stuff they were waiting to put out in the areas for like mixing. And they had these big salad bowls. And I grabbed one and I filled it with Lucky Charms and Fruity Pebbles. And then I was putting it under the milk. And because it was so big, the milk was splashing everywhere. And then I remember waddling over to the counter and handing the lady my ticket and her going, where did you get that bowl? Oh, it was in the bowls.
This is by the bowls. I wanted to tell you.
And
shouldn't put the bowl out if you didn't want me to use the bowl.
I had to have eaten like 2.5 boxes worth of cereal. It was a
just bleeding. Fuck
it. And Jordan's eating like the normal food from the cafeteria. And I'm like, I'm going back.
I think I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Can we go back and do that again?
Dude,
you still look young enough.
All of these memories were just like flushed into the front of my brain. One of my cousins is applying to colleges right now because she's in her senior year of high school. She's like, oh man. I remember that. Because of all the football stuff, all of the college visits I did that were official ones.
Yeah.
I got treated like a celebrity.
Yeah.
They wanted to court you. I got so drunk, I pissed my pants at the place I ended up going to college. I pissed myself in a dude's futon and then woke up with my pee pants and went to a fucking assembly. I was like, I don't got pee pants, you got pee pants.
This is how your pants are supposed to be.
You guys don't pee your pants, you fucking losers. You didn't see Billy Madison?
Weirdos, yeah, dude. Exactly. It's cool to pee your pants.
Yeah, all the cool kids do this shit. Fucking idiots. When was the last time you pissed yourself?
Dude, it's been a minute. Like, it was probably,
boo.
It's probably like 20.
20?
Yeah.
It's been 6 years?
Yeah.
When was the last time you had a Xanax?
I'm gonna 19? Make some calls.
Yeah, it's 19, been too long.
19, yeah. No, I had a fucking...
Real man of Xanax.
Dude, I had a fucking episode that, like... scared me straight. I broke.
You were gay?
No. I smashed the fuck out of a skateboard. Like,
whoa.
I made it look like it got hit by a car. I broke the
what?
I broke the fucking trucks. Like, I was out there apparently just wailing, and my roommate at the time went out to stop me and was like, no, you looked like you were gonna kill me. So
yeah.
I just wailed on my skateboard and apparently came
it
in.
It was your skateboard?
It was my board. Yeah. And
you
I was
fool.
I was not doing like super financially well at the time, so like that was hard to replace, you know what I mean? I woke up from a nap a few hours later and was like, the fuck happened to my skateboard?
Dog, how wild are those naps to wake up from,
dude? And I thought, like, what if that was my room, like, what if I just wailed on my roommate? Like, I'd be in fucking jail right now. That's stupid, bro. Fuck that. Like, I don't know what it was that brought it out of me, but like, no Xanax for me. That's it.
Dude, I've met a handful of people in my day that have woken up in jail.
Yeah, I don't
want
to do it.
What a fucking nightmare.
I don't want to do it.
I blacked out probably 20 times in the last 5 years. And of those like blackouts where it's like, how did I get home? A few of them were Xanax. But like the bad ones, the worst one, oh my God. I was in LA and I was at a party and a guy let me do a finger dip, like a fun dip.
Yeah.
Of pure Xanax powder, not the mixer. And I fucking... did that, and then his eyes got wide. He was like, you just did 25 milligrams. And I was like, oh no. And there's a video of me drooling while I'm talking and thinking, no. It's a nightmare. But I wake up. So the worst part, oh, I'm so fat. My belt's cutting into my fat. What a nightmare.
Recline a little.
Don't look at that. Don't look at that, everybody.
Kick the legs out a little bit.
It's fine. It won't help. But I woke up the next day in my bed in Azusa with all my clothes on. Azusa's like 38 miles from downtown LA where we were partying.
Okay.
So somehow I'd made it all that way.
It's a good bit.
And then I'm like looking around and my keys aren't anywhere. and then my phone's not anywhere. Oh, and I'm like, oh no. And then I go to look out front. I'm like, oh, my car will be here. Car's not there. I'm like, oh no. Oh no, I don't have anything.
What happened?
Get on my computer and I log in. I have all my iMessage synced up to my computer.
Nice.
So then I'm messaging my friend I was with the night before, and he was like, dog, you blacked the fuck out. We had to send you home. We sent you in an Uber. So then I got on the Uber app. The lady has my phone, but not my keys. My car is like 3 hours from getting towed. It's going to be like $700 because of where I'm parked.
Fuck.
So I have to call a locksmith, pay $300 to get new keys made for that, and then drive an hour and a half, 2 hours down to this Uber lady's house where she lives to go and pick up my phone. And the whole time she is making like heinous threats against me and like being meanish. It was a nightmare situation.
Fuck, man. That sounds like it's out of a like a fucking movie.
Yeah. So I think that was the last time I did Xanax, actually.
It leads
if to I had to guess.
Poor decisions. Sometimes like I get some people can do it for fun, but eventually you end up building up a tolerance. And then once you hit a certain point, you're just like, you black out so fast. Dude, it's a dangerous substance.
Xanax and alcohol are the only two withdrawals that can actually kill you.
Yeah. Doing them together will fuck you right up. That's bro, what most and it's people
my
do.
Favorite.
Dude, yeah.
Well, it's, so the thing is, Xanax gets rid of any voices in your head that are the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Any better judgment, any anxiety. Yeah, are inhibitions. Gone. But also, like, more than inhibitions, like, all the voices in my head that are like, don't do that, you'll die. And then picture all the ways I'll die if I do that thing, jumping off a ledge, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
All those voices are gone now. And I'm just in the ether. Yeah. I'm just living.
Dude, Xanax everything's life. Quiet.
And then because you're so calm and you're gentle, you're like, oh, I love a good alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
And then you have an alcoholic beverage, and then you're waking up just sprinting through a field, holding fistfuls of wire.
You've run through and several like, fences.
Who are these people around me? And then you see their cops, and then you use that wire and you choke them out, and then you adopt a new identity and you move to Texas and you say, no, I'm from here. I've lived here my whole life.
Dude, I do comedy, okay?
That'd be such a fun bit. Just to pretend to be a fugitive. So outside of the tattoo stuff, what else are you into besides Naruto?
I rock climb, spin fire, and play video games on Twitch.
You say spin fire very casually.
Yeah. It's but pretty fire
chill. Is made for pits.
It's pretty chill.
And you've said, I'll spin it?
Yeah.
Say more.
It's called a dragon staff. I'm sure if we had our lovely producer here right
Justin!
Now.
Justin! We need a dragon staff. Pronto.
We'll pull up a dragon staff in a moment.
Is it the thingy that has the... Oh, God.
So it's a staff.
Jump in jihad.
With wicks on the end. And wicks. Then four spokes with wicks on the end of those.
Oh, I've seen.
And then you spin it on your arms and around you and shit like that.
Fire fast.
Yeah. So I had, to be honest, it was an ex that got me. She did it and I thought it was really cool. And I tried it and then it was like, oh, this works for like ADHD. This was like forces you to be present, similar in a way that like tattooing or like boxing or like something else that I've done that forces you to be present. That's something else that like if you aren't paying attention, you're going to get hit in the face with something.
Ouchy fire.
And then, yeah, once you get to fire, I admittedly should have probably waited a little longer to play with fire. Usually Never. It's people train a little longer. But no, yeah, it's really fun and it's really easy and you feel like a badass while you do it. It's not too hard to do. I've taught a lot of people. It's, I mean, like,
the I basic remember one shit. Time at your apartment, we were learning with the lady how to do that.
Yeah. I think I spun fire like two times at that apartment complex. And I think that was one of the times with you guys. And it was fun. But that at that point,
Murphy hates it.
Dude, he does not like the staff. He's not a big fan. He's not a big fan of fire, which I guess makes sense.
Usually Germans love fire.
Yeah, they're a big fan.
I will shepherd you to the fire.
He comes this way.
Yes, please. Over
Where
here.
Where are your peppers?
Oh, no.
We'll leave that part. It's fine.
We can't do that much editing. It's staying in. Jeremiah, tattoos by Jerm, J-E-R-M, yeah, on Instagram.
Yeah.
And at tattoos by Sperm on OnlyFans. Check them out. I'm Mike Eaton.
That's
the OnlyFans special is coming soon. You better fucking log on and subscribe, or I'm gonna start showing hole, you piece of shit. And those figures are just gonna be out in the world.
They're gonna get leaked.
You're gonna see them. You're gonna see that before you die.